everyone. I think most of us have been to Macca's or KFC, fast food restaurant. And when we go to a fast food restaurant, we rightly expect the 16-year-old behind the counter to ask us what our order is and what we want, and then we'll eat. And then after we eat, someone will wipe the table and someone will mop the floor. The bathroom will be cleaned. And that's fine. That's the way it is. We go to those places to be served. And that's how a fast food restaurant really works. But I wonder whether sometimes we bring that attitude with us to places that it doesn't belong. The attitude of, I've come here to be served. God doesn't want us to treat our lives like a fast food restaurant. To have a Macca's mentality in our lives. And Peter has written a passage on serving one another in love, and it is surrounded by these passages of suffering. And why is that? It's because we're not going to get love from the world, and we shouldn't be looking for love from the world. So where then in our Christian communities? And I believe that 1 Peter Chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, gives us four reasons why we should serve one another and not ourselves within our Christian community and beyond, within our homes, our workplaces, our schools, anywhere where there are people, there is an opportunity to serve. Our passage today gives us four reasons why we should do so. So our first reason to serve one another and not ourselves is because the end of all things is near. And what Peter is saying is that it's not going to be long until we stand before God and we have to give an account of our life. And Peter has a real sense of urgency here, saying use your time wisely. When you stand before God, you're not going to be rewarded for things that you have acquired here on earth, because things don't last, but God's word and his people do. What is it then that Peter wants us to do? Well, because our time here on earth is limited, we should be serious about our prayer. And it's all there in verse 7 in chapter 4. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The greatest way we can serve each other here is through prayer. It shows concern for others and their needs, and a realization that it is God who can fulfill those needs. So find out how you can pray for each other. A way we can do this might be to take time every day to pray for a specific person from church, from your family, from work, from school, wherever you find yourself, there is an opportunity to pray for someone. The second way Peter says to serve one another and not self is because love covers or removes from sight a multitude of sin. Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. The first half of verse 8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. That means above television. That means above work. That means above money. These things have their place, but their place is not above having love for one another. But how do we do that? By serving one another and not ourselves. The second half of this verse is a quote from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offences. So the disclaimer here is is that this is not a doctrinal explanation of how sins are to be put away. Sins can only be removed by the blood of Christ. What it is saying is that true love is able to overlook minor faults and failures in other believers. It's not saying that a person doesn't have faults, but loving them despite those faults. If you blame someone for who they are, then you lose your chance to speak into that person's life. Okay, let's look at the third reason we should serve one another and not self here at Moree Baptist Church. Serve one another and not self because that is the whole reason why God has gifted you. Starting at verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. We'll just stop there. God had the good grace to equip you to serve others. That's the reason God gifted us in the first place. Your gifts have a purpose, and that is to serve one another. If you don't use your gifts to serve others, then they're wasted gifts. What is a hammer that never hits a nail? Or what's the point of a computer that never computes, a pen that never writes, or a book that is never read? Tools that don't serve their purpose are wasted tools, and in the same way, a gift that is never used is a wasted gift. Before we go on to the next point, let's look back and have a closer look at verse 9. It says, be hospitable without grumbling. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And notice that it doesn't say, be hospitable if God has gifted you that way. It's a form of serving that no one is exempt from. Being hospitable is just being friendly or welcoming to strangers or guests. It's quite simple. And it's something that we can all do better, even if we're doing a good job at it now. We can always be striving to be more hospitable. It's the condition that's on it that might make us all feel a little bit uncomfortable. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Here's the thing, service done with the wrong attitude is not service at all. People will not feel loved or welcomed if we serve without joy. Let's look at the last reason Peter gives us to serve one another. Serve one another and not self, because in doing so, you will glorify God. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We don't need to add to God's glory because God is already infinitely glorious. So what does it mean to glorify God? It means to honour him, to bring recognition to him. By serving others with the gifts that God supplies, we glorify him. We bring recognition to the gift giver. Not only this, evildoers will actually glorify God because they have seen your good works. And we find this out from one of the key verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, which says, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When the end of all things is at hand, in the day of visitation, your service to others will cause the others to have a greater recognition of God, to glorify God. So when we do minister to each other, take time to recognize God in prayer, because ultimately it is for him and because of him that we can serve one another. So the four points are: serve one another and not self, because the end of all things is near. Serve one another and not self, because love covers a multitude of sins. Serve one another and not self, because that's why God has gifted you. And serve one another and not self, because in doing so, you will glorify God. Philippians 2:3-4 says, let things be done through selfish ambition and conceit, and in your superior mind esteem yourself better than others. Actually, that's the opposite to what it says. But that's essentially what I would be saying when I decide to let others do the serving in my place. I'm not doing the dishes. I hate doing the dishes. Well, at that moment, I consider myself better than whoever has to do the dishes in my place. Luke 10:45, imagine if it had have said, even the Son of Man did not come to serve but to be served. That's not right, is it? Luke says the opposite, that Jesus came to serve. The example that we have set before us is Christ. And if even the Son of God considers serving us and to serve one another to be a worthwhile pursuit, then shouldn't we, as followers of him? Imagine how changed the world would be if we got rid of our Macca's mentality of, I came here to be served and not to serve. Selfishness hurts marriages. It hurts families, it hurts our churches, and it can hurt our workplaces too. But serving helps to heal and strengthen marriages, families, churches, workplaces. Our wives are not to be treated like the person behind the counter at Macca's. Wives, your husbands are not to be treated as if their sole purpose is to take your order. Your children are not your slaves, and children, your parents are not yours. If we're looking at the family, then each member is to serve one another and not self. It requires a change of thinking. Your home is an opportunity to be more like Christ through fervent love, through your service. Your church is an opportunity to serve one another, not just a few people serving the majority. Your workplace, your school, anywhere and everywhere. Sometimes sweeping the floor, cooking the meal can seem insignificant. But don't forget that love shown in even the smallest of tasks is significant in the eyes of God. Will we make sure that we do not have this Macca's mentality? Will we, above all things, display fervent love for one another? Will we choose to serve one another and not ourselves? I think we're going to close now with a hymn, which is Amazing Grace. So let's stand and sing together.